From the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples a parable. Consider the fig tree and all the other trees. When their buds burst open, you see for yourselves and know that summer is now near. In the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. The Gospel of the Lord. Today, Jesus is summarizing all that he's been telling us over the course of this week in Luke 21. All the images that he's been given, that the temple's going to be torn down, that there are going to be earthquakes and all types of natural disasters, that there's going to be extraordinary betrayal, even by family members and loved ones, and that we will be dragged before civil and religious leaders. He describes a whole bunch of destruction. And then he says, in the same way, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. When everything else seems to be getting destroyed, all the securities that you have known up until now start crumbling, heaven and earth itself will pass away, he says. You'll start seeing comets flying around in the heavens. You'll start seeing whole new fissures happening on earth. When this takes place, know that the kingdom of God is near, and base yourself in the security of my word that will be there forever. When Jesus says this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place, the reason why is not just pointing, for example, to 1st century AD stuff and Titus's destruction, the Temple of Jerusalem, etc. What he's describing happens in every generation. These are what the apocalyptic sort of preachers don't grasp. It happens always. Why? So that in every moment we will recognize that the kingdom of God is near, and so that we can stand erect and raise our heads because a redeemer is at hand, because our redemption is at hand, because the redeemer is there. The book of Daniel says the same thing today with lots of images. We've got these four beasts, a lion, a bear, a leopard, and a fourth beast who isn't described but more horrible than the rest. You see certain human accents to these descriptions that are being given. The reason for that is there's a ferocity in human beings and in the leadership exercised by human beings. We can see this type of brutality across the centuries. We don't just have to, for example, look to Attila the Hun. We can look to stuff in our own day. There's a lot of evil out there in which human beings start to behave toward each other as ferocious animals. The type of betrayals and destruction that Jesus would be talking about in the gospel happens. But then what occurs? Daniel sees two other visions. First is he sees a vision ultimately of God the Father. Thrones were set up and the Ancient One took his throne. Whiteness, symbolizing his holiness. Even the hair on his head was as white as wool. His throne was flames of fire with wheels of burning fire. He was on a throne and was stable in a sense, but it was also dynamic. God's stable, but he's always acting. Surging stream of fire flowed out from where he sat. Fire to burn away whatever's unfit, but also the fire of his love that we were praying for from his son in today's opening prayer. And all Daniel could see were thousands upon thousands and myriads upon myriads attending and ministering to him. It's a scene of heaven in the midst of all of this ferocity. That's when this vision of God appears. And then the court was convened. Books were opened. Arrogant words were spewing from that new horn. But he saw one like a son of man coming on the clouds of heaven. Do I have to interpret who that is? You know, when Annas the high priest asked Jesus, "Are you the son of the Blessed One?" He says, "You will soon see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven." He was specifically referring to this messianic prophecy right here from Daniel. "See a Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. When he reached the Ancient One and was presented before him, he received." You can hear the echo of this from the book of Revelation, but in this week of the Solemnity of Christ the King, we see it. "He received dominion, glory, kingship. Nations and peoples of every language serve him. His dominion is an everlasting one that shall not be taken away. His kingdom will not be destroyed." This is Christ in the midst of all of these beasts. That's when the Ancient One appears, and his movement, those turning wheels and those fire, he sent his son to light a fire on the earth. And it was in the midst of it all that his everlasting kingdom was established and wouldn't be taken away. When we hear all of this, we can sometimes form a slightly literalistic interpretation that can throw us off. That when all of this evil is occurring, that Jesus describes in Luke 21, that Daniel's describing in his seventh chapter, we can think that we've got to look up and look to the clouds and wait to see the Son of Man coming. But in fact, he comes in a different way. He comes dragging a cross. But he comes. Today we're in the second day of the novena to the Immaculate Conception. And it's important for us to live these days in a particularly Marian key. Mary is the one who helps us in the midst of all the evil that exists, that can lead us to say, "How long, O Lord?" She's the one who helps us to recognize that our redemption is at hand, that the blessed fruit of her womb is with us, and so we shouldn't be hovering in the fetal position, cowering because of the evil, because it's not going to have the last word, but rather to stand erect, just as Jesus asked that woman who was curved over for more than a decade, and raise our heads and our hearts toward this Redeemer who is coming with that cross and saying, "Follow me." She is the one who recognized more than any other that heaven and earth will pass away, but her son's word that he enfleshed will never pass away. And so our response always has to be, "Fiat mi secundum verbum tuum," to live our whole life according to that word. So today, in the midst of all the evil that sometimes fills our prayer, where we come here to the Lord and ask him to fix it and solve it, he asks us to have confidence as we listen to his eternal word again, and to stand erect and raise our head and our hearts and behold the Lamb.